Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I also said, you know what my throat needs? A little hot, warm liquid.
How did I know that was going to come back to haunt me? Little Red Hot Chili Peppers. As we welcome you back for hour number three, good to have you with us here on a Thursday. Before we get back to the calls, I've been mentioning two articles that I haven't gotten to yet, but I want to get to right here and right now. So Nikki Javala of The Athletic wrote, quote, "The Commanders' defense has improved," or this is the headline. Is it the play calling? And it's obviously an issue that we tackled earlier this year, or earlier this week, I should say. And it's a discussion point that everybody around here that cares about the Commanders one way or the other has been talking about for the last several weeks, right? And Dan Quinn did a lot of self-evaluation, did a lot of thinking going from head coach to defensive coordinator for 3 years back to head coach here. And Nikki kind of alludes to that at the beginning. And he said, ultimately, he spread himself too thin a couple of times in Atlanta as the head coach. He took over as the defensive play caller in addition to his duties as head coach. He said, basically, when he came to Washington, it's why he delegated play calling to defensive coordinator Joe Witt Jr., and obviously offensive play calling to Cliff Kingsbury. Saying, you know, of course, at the time, he'll be involved in it, but those guys will call the game. So he also said the essence of this job as a head coach isn't just to be on one side, it's to tie everything together, and that's when I'm at my best. And again, some of these quotes Nikki found, remembered, pulled up, whatever. So we know now, after getting annihilated in four straight games, losing by 20 points, he took over right before the Madrid game, or the week, you know, of the Madrid game, after getting blown out back-to-back home weeks by Seattle and Detroit. I was in Madrid, and I asked him specifically after that first game, hey, you know, you've obviously had a little bit of experience with this before. How did you think it went, having to be the head coach and the defensive coordinator or the defensive play caller, just one game sample size, immediately after the game? And he gave me, you know, kind of a generic-ish answer. But he said, you know, if I remember correctly, and I'm loosely quoting, you know, that it went well in his mind in the initial aftermath. But certainly you're stretched a little bit thin and you've got a lot going on and you got to figure out kind of the right battle or the right mix and the right, you know, kind of some of the stuff that he's talking about. And he said on Monday, when asked again about this, after now two games, quote, "I'm finding a battle rhythm." This guy loves to talk about battles and, you know, all that stuff. I love it. He said, and he should put stuff on a t-shirt. He said, "I haven't discussed or gone down that road too far yet, but yeah, I would say it's a possibility," as we played you the sound when asked directly, hey, could this continue in 2026? So, again, that is the backdrop. Nikki goes into the rest of the story, talking a little bit about offense and you know, how Joe Witt hasn't officially been removed as defensive coordinator, but he doesn't call the plays. He was down on the sideline for one game. Now he spent more time working with the secondary, which was his area of expertise before he got here or when they were in Dallas. And that has helped maybe the secondary a little bit. Again, more zone defense, more this, that. And this is without Trey Amos and without Marshawn Lattimore, right? So then the article goes a little bit further, right? That the group has noticeably improved in consecutive overtime losses, but they haven't corrected all of their errors. And Jonathan Jones, veteran corner, Super Bowl champion, said, quote, "I think it's a combination of a little bit different calls and then just us coming together. We established that we're going to be a better team for the remainder of the season, and we all bought into that." Now, I don't know why they didn't buy into that earlier. I have no idea. Now, Jonathan Jones was hurt for four games, so maybe that was part of the reason. Apparently, Quinn Witt, after the change, made a series of small changes to the call sheets and some of the personnel before altering the coaching duties. And they kept tweaking things, and they kept trying to change some things, right? Yet, the Commanders kept blowing coverages, kept bad communication, kept missing more tackles, giving up more big plays, stopping the run, so on and so forth. But then, again, the last two overtime losses against Miami and Denver, allowing 16 points in Madrid, two goal line stands, three sacks, and then against Denver, allowing 27 points in overtime and ultimately losing. But that's the results. So here's a couple of numbers for you. According to The Athletic and Nikki Javala, in the first 10 weeks of the season, the Commanders allowed 5.7 explosive pass plays per game. That's 16 or more yards, to rank 31st in the league, and had a total defensive EPA, expected points added, per game of negative 8.16. In weeks 11 through 13, now again, there's 3 weeks, but only two games there, but again, in weeks 11 through 13, the Commanders have allowed 4.5 explosive pass plays per game. So that's different than 5.7. Moving up to 14th in the league, and their total defensive EPA was at negative 2.76 compared to negative 8.16 when Joe Witt was calling the plays. So that's a lot of what you have to know, right? Now, Quan Martin adds to this, quote, "The calls are the same calls we've had. There are just less of them, so it allows us to play fast and not think much when we're out there." Okay. So basically what they're saying is they've kind of stripped down some of the lingo, some of the complexity of the play calls, which is something that we were told that they were doing even before Joe Witt got removed as the defensive play caller, something that they were doing before Joe Witt got moved from the coach's box to the sideline for the one game. And that's what Quan Martin is saying. It's the same calls, the same defense, but there's just less of them, less checks, less basically attachments, add-ons, what have you. So it's allowing them to be a little bit mentally freer. Here's my question. Why in the love of, for the love of humanity, did they say they were going to do this, but apparently didn't do this? Or maybe they did it and it just didn't yield the results before they actually removed Joe Witt as the play caller? Because again, I very vividly remember before they actually put him from the coach's box to the sideline, and then before they actually removed him as the defensive play caller, they said on the record that they were going to strip some of the language, that they were going to make it easier. That was a big talking point. I think that was after the Dallas road game. I would have to double check the exact timeline. That's what they said. So they probably did it then. But apparently it took until they played Miami in Madrid and also removed, essentially fired Joe Witt as the defensive play caller. Now, Quinn has, as Nikki noted, pushed back a little bit that his play calling has led to the team's defensive improvement, calling it instead an energy of the players. Jeremy Reeves said, quote, "I think guys are communicating at a high level. We're trusting what we're seeing and taking shots. I think that's the recipe of every good defense, is trusting the guys around you and knowing where to be and when to be there." So I assume he means over the last couple of games with Dan Quinn as the play caller, with Joe Witt in a different role, that guys are communicating at a much higher level and trusting each other and seeing things better. And presumably that comes with a simplifying of the defensive terminology, play calls, philosophy, what have you. My question is, yes, I can see where that would improve things. But they didn't just start doing this against Miami. And that's where I go back to the point of, they talked about this earlier this year. Again, I believe it was after the Dallas blowout road loss in which they lost 44-22, about simplifying some of the calls, simplifying some of the tags, making communication easier, letting players think less and play more. So if that's the case, has anything really changed? If players like Jeremy Reeves and Quan Martin, whatever you say, whatever you think of them, are saying, guys, not much has changed. Play calls are still the play calls. Right? Little tweaks, little adjustments. The numbers clearly show that they are better. But why is that? We know it's never just one thing. We know that. We know this. It's never just one thing. But as Nikki noted, the statistical analytical perspective tells us there's a big difference. 5.7 explosive pass plays, 16 yard or more yards per game, to 4.5. Again, that's a notable drop, but it's not like 5.7 to 1.7. But it's a notable drop. And total defensive EPA of minus 816 to minus 2.76. Now, let's just take the two games before they made the switch to Dan Quinn. Seattle, Detroit. Two offenses that you would consider, if not explosive, you would consider them good to very good offenses, right? Especially when they're on. And yes, Sam Darnold can have a four interception game as he had the week after the Commanders game against the LA Rams, against a really good defense. But Sam Darnold can also have the kind of game that he had against the Commanders. And he's had more of those games over the last year and two-thirds than he's had bad games like he had against the Rams. And we know Jackson Smith and Jigba is explosive. And there's others. Take the Lions. We know Amon-Ra St. Brown. We know Jahmyr Gibbs. We know David Montgomery. We know Jared Goff when you give him time. We know Jameson Williams. So, you have talented, good, maybe very good offenses that you're going against and getting fried up like chicken fried chicken at home the previous two games. Then you get to Madrid. And you're taking on a Miami Dolphins team without Tyreek Hill. Without a really good quarterback. There is nobody under no circumstances that can measure Tua Tagovailoa in any way and say he's a really good quarterback. He's not. At times, he can be good. at times the Miami Dolphins offense, and right now they are playing much better. And they were coming off of a big win against Buffalo, and they've kept that streak alive, beat New Orleans, so on and so forth. I think they've won four out of their last five. Right now, the Dolphins are playing better on offense. And the Commanders did a pretty good job of limiting them points-wise because they shut them down in the red zone and more specifically in goal-to-go situations and on fourth and goals. But the Dolphins were able to run the football. They were able to move the football all game long. They just couldn't score points. They bogged down in the red zone. Again, they bogged down in the goal-to-go area. Some of that credit goes to Washington. Some of that blame goes to Miami. And again, it's just one game. It doesn't mean that's the way they play every single game. But nobody should ever, ever confuse the Miami Dolphins with an explosive offense right now. And really, over the last year and a half, nobody. And that's largely because of the play of Tua Tagovailoa. And just one more further point. Nobody should have watched that game on Sunday or watched any of the Broncos games leading up to that game and said, ah, the Denver offense, man, they're great. They're explosive. They're awesome. They are a machine. You know what they remind me of? Those old Sean Payton, New Orleans Saints, Drew Brees-led offenses. Not a soul alive should have thought that. So, with all due respect to the numbers, with all due respect to all of your theories, with all due respect to everyone who is trying to figure this out and thinks, well, Dan Quinn alone and his play calling has made the difference. The analytics tell us that. I'll take common sense 101 every time and every day of the week and 15 times on Sunday. The reason why they're better is because the competition is worse. And they've tweaked some other things. The reason why, the number one reason why they're better is because the competition is worse. And guess what? It doesn't get any better the next 2 weeks. We'll see what happens on Saturday, December the 20th against currently a struggling Eagles offense. We'll see what happens on Christmas Day when the Cowboys come to town. We'll see what happens then. And we can continue to reevaluate our stance. But I just wanted to lay that out. Coming up next, Ben Standing also has a column that I found interesting. I want to go through some of that. If you want to hop in on the Commanders' resurgence under Dan Quinn, you can do so 301-230-0980 on the Team 980. Streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we just went over Nikki's column on the difference maybe between Dan Quinn as the play caller and the Commanders' performance over the last couple of games, 3 weeks of the NFL season, sandwiched around the bye, Madrid, Miami, Denver, so on and so forth. I mean, if you listen to the players, not much has changed. If you listen to the players. The numbers have changed, but I strongly believe that is because the opponent level has also changed. Not saying that's the only reason, not saying that's 100% of the reason, but that is a large reason. You would probably say it's because the play caller has changed. I disagree, but neither here nor there. The other column that I wanted to bring up was Project 2026, as it's been dubbed by my guy Ben Standing. In Last Man Standing, of course, Substack, make sure you get a subscription to him. Make sure you get a subscription, obviously, to Nikki on The Athletic and all that. And you can read all of this stuff. But it's labeled Project 2026, and the headline that jumped out to me, the Commanders need more than stars. They need bodies. And the subheading goes, a thin roster, aging depth, and too few long-term answers around Jaden Daniels define the work ahead for Adam Peters and the focus of 2026 version 4.0. Now, I may have missed the first couple of versions. You know, there's a lot of material out there. But Ben goes into plenty of work remaining and highlighting, obviously, what still has to get done and the big questions such as, where does Mikey Sanders still land? Top three free agents to re-sign. Is there an edge prospect on the roster? What he has to do? And he compares it to other NFC East teams. We'll go into some of the details, some of the data, some of the questions, some of the issues as we go along here, because it's going to take us a little bit of time to kind of go through it. But this is how executives have to think. It's not only, hey, how do we improve our roster? It's also, how do we improve our roster to beat those other teams? Because the most simple and direct way to getting into the playoffs and to getting a home playoff game is by winning your division. It's not by being the best wild card team. It's not just by being a good team. It's by being the best team of the four in your division. Because you're guaranteed a playoff spot and a home game at that. Guaranteed. No tiebreakers, no screw jobs, no nothing. You're the best of your four. That's it. So Ben kind of breaks it down in that realm. We'll get more into that as we go along. But first, we'll reset. We'll do a trending alert here a little bit early on this Wednesday afternoon because there's nobody, and I mean nobody, that sticks to the clock quite like me. I got a good laugh from my guy, AMAC. That got a good laugh out of my guy, AMAC. He's still laughing.
No, you just know how to push buttons, Rooster. This is why you have that mic in front of you, man. You know, but yeah.
So I've been accused of being an ultimate contrarian by Cowboy Bob, and you have said I know how to push buttons.
Yeah, I mean they're one and the same. I think they're two coins of one part of your personality, one of the many parts, multitudes of one.
So you think that this is an act? You think that this is like a little bit of a...
No, I think you do. This is something you really enjoy.
Okay.
I can tell.
Do you think... do you think it's really me or do you think I'm faking?
No, it's you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's you.
I appreciate that. Mm. Time for a trending alert right here, right now. More on the Ben Standing column next. All right, the Commanders wrapping up practice for the day. We're awaiting the official injury report as they get set for the Minnesota Vikings and a little reunion with longtime Commander/Redskin Jonathan Allen, who was released by the team, signed as a free agent with the Vikings. Hasn't exactly worked out just the way they were expecting it. J.J. McCarthy was a full go yesterday. Jaden Daniels was limited. He's still waiting for clearance and, again, will still await the designation. But another limited practice today would probably tell you that Marcus Mariota is likely to start on Thursday. Meanwhile, around the NFC East, as we were just talking about, Jalen Carter of the Philadelphia Eagles had surgery on both shoulders earlier this week. With the Eagles having a little time in between games, they played last Friday. They don't play again until this upcoming Monday, but he's not going to be able to play this Monday, so says Adam Schefter of ESPN. The hope is to get him close to 100% for a playoff run. Darius Slay, as we told you about last hour, claimed by the Buffalo Bills, but he is not reporting to them as of yet, according to his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, saying he wants to take some time to figure out his path. Meanwhile, from the NWSL, the Players Association for the league has filed a grievance on behalf of Spirit star Trinity Rodman after the NWSL and its commissioner rejected a record-setting contract offer to try and keep Trinity Rodman in Washington, to try and keep her in the NWSL. They said it broke the spirit, or violated the spirit, not the Washington spirit, the spirit of the league's competition rules, and they argued that the CBA has been worked around in this multi-year arrangement that Rodman apparently would have agreed to. So we will see what happens with that particular situation. Caps off tonight, riding a six-game winning streak in Anaheim tomorrow night are the Capitals. Meanwhile, the Wizards are home tonight, 7 o'clock. 106.7 The Fan for the Boston Celtics, who come in at 12-9. And that's what's trending.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Why the change in music so far this week, Amac? I've noticed you're playing a lot more of, music that I would recognize and more music that I would connect with.
I try to switch it up, okay. Just in life.
All right. I like that. Variety is the spice of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Like the variety of people who watch NFL games,
yes,
on Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah. I do seriously wonder, back to that for a second, the jump from 42 million to, which wasn't the Chiefs, obviously, Cowboys 3 years ago. It was the Giants, yeah, and the Cowboys. I do wonder how much of that is the Taylor Swift influence. Because clearly NFL ratings took a big jump when Taylor Swift started coming around. And all the Swifties started flocking to the NFL, something that they probably didn't do. Why? Because Taylor Swift was now with one of their stars. And they follow the flock, if you will. So I do wonder how much of that increased that number naturally. But But again, going from an all-time record high of 42 million to 57 million just don't make a whole lot of sense to me. Something was wrong somewhere along the way. So anyway, wanted to continue going through this from Ben Standing. So Ben is doing this long project, what have you. And I think it's always fun to get think pieces like this, right? And he calls it Project 2026 and talking about the reshaping of the roster and what needs to happen and so on and so forth. And he starts with how many players each NFC East team has retained from before the 2024 offseason, meaning before Adam Peters and Dan Quinn got here. And he goes team by team, and he lists certain guys and whatnot. And Dallas has 25 guys that they've retained, so nearly half their roster. 13 from the draft, 6 free agents, a couple of undrafted free agents, 6 of those total. The New York Giants come in at 21. 15 from the draft, 6 free agents, no undrafted free agents. The Philadelphia Eagles come in at 24, so one spot less, one number less than the Dallas Cowboys. 18 from the draft, that's more from the draft than the Cowboys have. 4 from free agents slash trade. 2 undrafted free agents, including starting safety Reed Blankenship. The Commanders, after the Cowboys, 25, Eagles, 24, Giants, 21, and again, this is guys on their roster right now that were there before the 2024 offseason, which is when Adam Peters and Dan Quinn took over. The Commanders have 12. From the draft, 8 players: Daron Payne, Terry McLaurin, John Bates, Sam Cosmi, Percy Butler, Chris Paul, Quan Martin, Chris Rodriguez. Those are all guys that were drafted before Adam Peters and Dan Quinn took over. Now, not all of them were Ron Rivera guys, because Jay Gruden and Bruce Allen drafted Daron Payne, drafted Terry McLaurin, so on and so forth. But 8 were drafted or were acquired via draft of the 12 prior to Adam Peters and Dan Quinn getting here. And then 4 on free agency and waivers: Tressway, Jeremy Reeves, Trent Scott, Andrew Wiley. No undrafted free agents. Standing also noted that the Cowboys received the most Pro Bowl selections among draft selections in that group and in that time period of 15. Philadelphia, 14. The Giants, 3. The Commanders, 3. I'm going to save the rest of this for tomorrow. I want to get back into this tomorrow. I just wanted to kind of wet the whistle a little bit. Something we'll be talking about tomorrow. Why? Because we have time. And B, again, I like think pieces like this. And I like kind of the approach. So I wanted to make sure I give it enough attention. And I want to make sure we discuss it. We discussed in detail the Nikki Javala piece of The Athletic. Started getting into Ben. We were a little bit late getting into it. So we're not going to be able to finish it up today, to be fair. We still have Dumb Dumb of the Day coming up, but first, we say hello to Paulie in the 757. Hello, Paulie. How are you?
Hey, up to the W, man. Rufio, my
hello,
guy.
Paulie.
How you doing, man?
What's going on?
How you doing, man? Hey, Max, my guy, man. Hey, Rufio, nothing makes you happy, do it.
There's a lot of things that make me happy, Paulie.
Well, hey, my man, hey, Max don't make you happy, man. I mean, you always
complain. Oh, no, I think you have that incorrect. I was very happy to see AMAC today. I was very happy to see AMAC today.
You always complain about the music he plays and you don't know who it is. And now he's been playing all your music.
I wasn't complaining. I was complimenting him. I was simply saying, hey, I've noticed a noticeable difference.
Yeah, whatever. Nah. Hey, look, man. that Ben Stanley thing you was talking about, I happened to turn you back on. I turned you off, you started talking hockey. So I happened to turn you back on.
I'm sorry for talking about the best team perennially in the DMV. I apologize.
Hey, man, it's your choice. It's your show.
Yes.
I don't mean I got to listen.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. I was just saying, instead of complaining about your complaint, I'm saying I'm apologizing for talking about the best team in the DMV year in, year out.
Don't apologize for being you.
Okay.
Anyways, I think you fall into a trap. Now, I'll say this about the fans. I don't know if this is how Adam Peters and them looked at it, but I think it did. You're falling into a trap if you want to build a roster to compete with the teams in your division. And I think that's what happened to us this past year. We fell into that trap of thinking, okay, we got to put together a team that's going to compete with the Eagles. No. We got to put together a team that fits what your coordinators want to do. That's how you have to build this roster. It needs to be best player available, but it also needs to be player that fits your scheme. Because we talked yesterday about Joe Witt and Dan Quinn about the defense and not making adjustments or making that adjustment too late in the year or whatever. Well, the same can be said for Cliff Kingsbury. Because what I'm seeing from Kingsbury is he's not the type of coordinator that can adjust his scheme to the strengths or weaknesses of the players he has. So in this offseason, they better go out and get explosive and dynamic players on offense, at receiver or tight end or whatever you want to call it, running back or whatever. Because clearly this year with the injuries to the receivers, and I've listened to Sheehan say for 3 weeks now, I had people tell me after the Seattle game there was a lot of receivers running the wrong routes, and we don't have professional receivers out there, and that's why it was good to get Terry back, and Debo was like, well, if we know we don't have professional receivers out there and guys running wrong routes and all this other thing, why the hell are we leading our offense with the passing game? You would think that we would be a heavy rushing team this season, being that we don't have, and you don't have your starting quarterback. And Mariota's done a good job. I'm not saying he hasn't. I'm just saying, though, as far as the receiver thing goes, you know, if you notice, why are we still leading with the passing game? Because I don't care who starts at running back. I think, like, the high for carries for any back who has started, 11 carries or 15 carries, that's not enough.
Yeah.
Not enough.
Yeah, not only are they rotating all three of those guys, to your point, but they're also not staying and feeding the unit or the group consistently enough when you supposedly have a flaw at wide receiver.
Exactly. So that tells me that Pete Kingsbury is not going to change his team, right? So if he ain't changing his team, you better have enough players in there to fit his team. You know, that's why, especially if he comes back as our coordinator next year. Because if not, we're going to be in the same position we were last season. And really, for most of the season last year, until Noah Brown had gotten hurt, and me and you, Chris, well, I gave credit, I gave myself credit, me and you was crying for Deion Brown all season long, you know, about somebody else who could run up the sideline or whatever. So they need to build this roster on what's going to fit their scheme, not on what we have to do to compete with the Eagles. Because they tried that on offense and defense this year, and they get old and cheap, and it backfired. So that's how, you know, I don't even get all into that article with Ben Stanley, but just from what I heard of it, I think it's a mistake that they just trying to, you know, build a roster to compete with the teams in the division. No.
Bully, what's going on with your phone today? Are you in, like, the bathroom? Or are you in a tunnel or something like that? Your phone is all over the place.
Yeah, my fault, man. I was just coming through the downtown.
Oh, okay. All right, okay. No, I just want to make sure you're all right.
Going to party down P-Town, man, Portsmouth.
Attaboy. You're going to have a good time tonight?
Oh, you never have a good time in P-Town, man. You got to be on your guard. You know, your P's and Q's.
I got you.
Shout out to Portsmouth, man. I'm just playing. I love Portsmouth.
All right. Okay. All right. Be safe out there, Paulie.
Hail to the W, man. But like I said, man, build this roster to fit your scheme. Hail to the W.
All right. There you go. I mean, here's the thing. You would think, right, all of the conversations that go on in an NFL building, especially once the season is over, it's not like those guys go away for 3 months, right? They're evaluating the tape. They're evaluating every player. They're filing reports. You would think, right, hey, like we need to dress players for scheme. Yes. The problem becomes is when you don't know if, say, Cliff Kingsbury is going to take another job. When you don't know if Cliff Kingsbury is going to be here, his choice or their choice. So you got to be careful about overdoing that. Ideally, you need the best possible football players that are scheme adjustable. You know, that's why I've never really gone crazy over scheme. Because, again, scheme is not always the answer to success, is not always the way you should do things. There's a lot of variables that people don't necessarily consider. All right, let's do this. Take a timeout. We'll come back. Dum Dum of the day. And in this case, Dum Dums working at a snail's pace. Yeah. Next on the Team 980. Always streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. You talk about working at a snail's pace. Well, try this one on for size. Dateline France. The holiday season is upon us all. A French national treasure, not a piece of art. Nope. Not a sculpture, has been stolen from a famous snail farm in northern France. About 1,000 pounds of escargot, better known as snails, worth more than $100,000 on the market, have been stolen by a bunch of bandits. The farm, Les Escargots des Grandes Crues in Bougie, France, apparently sells their harvest to Michelin five-star restaurants. But on the pre-dawn hours of November 24th, somebody or a group broke into the building and stole again all of the snails and the escargot. From shelves, freezers, fresh, frozen, along with some petty cash. And now the owners of the farm are really struggling to replace the product so that they can sell it to everyone for the holidays. But also this, you should know that escargot, or snails, are at its highest quantity, sold at its highest quantities in the U.S. and in France during the holiday season. It's cooked with garlic butter and wine. And maybe that explains why I've never had escargot. Also, it may explain because, again, I don't do Michelin restaurants. Don't do them at all. Have never done them. Have never. Will never. Homie, don't play that. Police have no suspects, but somebody is stealing all the snails, baby. And we don't know who. Apparently, 37 million pounds of snails are eaten annually in France. That's a lot of escargot. That's a lot of snails.
You got to get into escargot.
You like that?
I've had it a couple
really?
Of times. Yeah, man.
You are a little bit more bougie than you let on. Just a little bit more bougie than you let on. That's my guy, AMAC. Good to see you in person, my guy. Good to see you in person. Good to annoy everybody in person. Good to agitate a little bit. Keep listening. Whatever you guys are doing is working based on some things that I've heard. We must be doing something right. Keep listening live on the radio on the Team 980, streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and tune in. Check out the podcast on the Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Lanell Willingham, Burgundy and Gold Today, is coming up next. See you tomorrow back here at 1 for all of our Friday football coverage, including our dual Super Sunday six-packs. See you then.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original. Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.